It's time to get up with a row over the Redskins. Washington's owner Daniel Snyder facing enormous pressure to change his team's nickname right now. Will he finally cave? Plus, Cam Newton says he wants respect. What does he have to do to earn it in New England? And just look at Zion Williamson. How in the world did he stay in shape, and should he be load managed in the Disney World bubble? And we are jacked up here on a Friday on Get Up. Good morning, I'm Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg. And by the way, you're watching Korean baseball. It's in a rainout, bottom of the eighth, but when it does resume, if it does resume, it'll be on ESPN2. In the meantime, you can spend the time with us right here for 2 hours, getting you ready for your 4th of July weekend, and we will send you off to a weekend with a lot happening in sports. So much to get into, but let us start in D.C. Now, this came in overnight, a bombshell, early evening, and it really shook up the football world. FedEx, which holds the naming rights to the Washington Redskins Stadium, has formally requested that the team change its nickname. Pressure to change the name has increased in recent weeks, given the social climate following the death of George Floyd. NFL legend Jim Brown was on Jalen Jacoby yesterday, and here's what he had to say.
I'm all for it. I think it's a consciousness. I think that in this era, you must make those bold moves. And yes, I think that it should change it. Tell why they're changing it, and let's move on towards a world wherein people are equal and people are given the respect for just being human and being good. The racial situation is something that should be outdated. So yes, get rid of the Redskins, and that would make a big move.
When Jim Brown speaks, people listen, but will Dan Snyder? The owner faced pressure to change the name for years, but he's always stood firm against doing so. Check this out. Back in 2013, he infamously told the USA Today, "We will never change the name. It's that simple. Never. And you can use all caps." So, a showdown over the Washington Redskins nickname. What will happen next? Dan Graziano, Louis Riddick in with us. And Dan, I want to start with you. What is the latest that you're hearing about this request to change the name?
Ryan, as you mentioned, the news broke last night, so it's really just a matter of surveying the reaction around the league at this point, and there has been a lot. People were startled by this news and called it massive because you have a sponsor of this magnitude calling on the team to change the name. There is a sense around the league that this might actually be the thing that gets it done. You mentioned Dan Snyder, the team owner, has been adamant in the past that he won't change the name for a couple of reasons. One is good old-fashioned stubbornness, and the other is, you know, the idea that fans still show up at games, still buy merchandise because they feel a connection to that name, to the team's history. So it would be a big deal for Snyder to do it. It might require approval of the other owners. There's revenue sharing in the NFL, so a change of a team name that would affect merchandise sales, etc., might require league approval as well. But at this point, we are waiting to hear from Dan Snyder and from the team if they're going to say anything publicly about FedEx's request.
Yeah, I think everybody's waiting to hear what Daniel Snyder will do next. Now, Louis, you were a part of the Washington organization. You've been in and around it for years. And look, I think people hear, okay, a sponsor is saying this. They're asking. I guess Daniel Snyder could say no if he wanted to. But when you hear this, what's your reaction?
My reaction is that money talks, and we all know this. And we know that owners make decisions in the NFL largely because of how it's going to affect positively or negatively their bottom line. And Dan is no different, and FedEx is a big sponsor. And even going a step above FedEx, look, when you have investors that control, upwards of $620 billion in a portfolio of companies, including FedEx, including Nike, I mean, those including PepsiCo, and they're telling you as FedEx, hey, look, we're not comfortable with your association with this football team as far as the naming rights that, you know, they have acquired, you know, putting your name on their stadium, and we need you to disassociate yourself with them if they are not going to change the name. That is something that speaks very loudly to NFL owners. NFL owners didn't get rich and didn't get in the positions that they are because they make bad decisions as far as how it affects their bottom line. They're very smart, very savvy businessmen. And I know many people are going to look to this move by FedEx and this request by FedEx and say, well, look, this is all just a matter of business. It's not really a matter of their moral compass guiding them in this direction. Well, I mean, that is an argument that you can make. But the fact of the matter is we're looking for change. We're looking for impact. We're looking for things to be different. We're looking for people to be respected. We're looking for equality. And right now, you can be mad about the fact that the impetus for this kind of change and this kind of discussion as in regards to Washington is driven by money. But the fact of the matter is that's one language that NFL owners and all owners across all professional sports leagues understand. And I guarantee you they have gotten Dan Snyder's attention. And Fred Smith, the CEO and the chairman and founder of FedEx, has gotten Dan Snyder's attention. Now we're going to see how he responds.
Okay, but you mentioned this speaks very loudly. And even Dan, though, mentioned the stubbornness factor, the factor that fans have a connection with the Redskins name. So do you think that this will actually lead to a name change?
I think there's a good chance that it will. And look, I'll tell you this. You know, quite honestly, I mean, I could not care less about fans' stubbornness and their connection with history in regards to this name, because the simple fact of the matter is this: when we're talking about matters of racism, it is not up to the people who are not the ones being offended to determine whether or not the people who are being offended should be offended. It's not up to them to say, well, no, you don't have a right to be offended. And besides, you're messing with my tradition and you're messing with something that I've always identified with in the context of sports. So we're not going to listen to you. We're not going to listen to your pleas. We're not going to listen to your requests. I think the time for that is long since passed. And this is a new way. This is a new day right now. The new set of rules, and people are making decisions based off of a new set of rules. And quite frankly, it's the way it should have been for a long time right now. I understand, again, that people are upset as far as how this is coming about, maybe. But the fact of the matter is this. I think if there is a time for this to happen, it is now. If there is a way to get Dan Snyder and any other NFL owner's attention, it is by way of money. It is by way of affecting the bottom line. We've seen it happen before. We saw how it affected Colin Kaepernick and his ability to not secure employment in the NFL. And now we're going to see whether or not this happens. This results in the kind of change that Native Americans are looking to that are offended by their mascot.
And Dan, Lewis mentions that this is the way to get owners' attention. You talk about the money and all of that. I have to ask, is there a sense that other owners will then turn to the Redskins, turn to Dan Snyder and say, hey, look, you've got to make a move?
I don't expect that would happen. I think they'll leave it to him to decide. Again, my understanding is that I can't get a straight answer on this yet from the league, but my understanding is that there might have to be a vote of the other owners to approve a name change. It might be just a formality, because I don't think they're going to want to stick their nose into Dan Snyder's business. But at this point, I think probably the rest of the owners are happy to let Snyder confront this on his own and see what he does. There has never been pressure directed from the NFL league office at Dan Snyder on this matter. Would that change given the current climate? Possible. We haven't heard that it has, but this external pressure from the sponsors is going to be a lot more powerful than any pressure that any other owner or that even the league office could exert.
You know, one thing we want to mention here on Thursday, I just want to jump in with this, Lewis, because it's important to mention Nike appeared to remove all of the Redskins gear from its online store, and the other 31 NFL teams were listed, and a search for Redskins came up with no results. So maybe there's some movement there. But Lewis, I want you to jump in.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was just going to jump in on something that Dan mentioned there, and that's the fact that I think, you know, for the sense that I get from my conversations is that Dan is exactly right. The other owners will be more than happy to allow Dan to confront this on his own, and basically he's going to have to make this decision on his own. He's not going to be able to rely on other owners giving him support in any way, from what I gather. This is going to be a decision that squarely falls on his shoulders, so we'll see. It's going to be accountability at its finest as far as how sponsors are trying to hold him accountable.
You know, for all these years, he has held fast on this idea of he's not changing it. Well, now the spotlight is squarely on him, you guys. We'll be right back talking more about this. Now, I want to turn to this Cam Newton. We've been talking about it all week. And just recently, the contract terms came out for Cam Newton's one-year deal with the Patriots. And talk about a bargain. I mean, this pretty much defines the word. As first reported by CBS Sports, Cam received just $550,000 guaranteed, and his base salary is only $1.05 million. Now, on Instagram yesterday, Cam said he didn't sign for the money. Take a look at this. Not a lot of things money cannot buy, but amongst the top of that list of things, you would find respect as one of those. This is not about money for me. It is about respect. All right, let's bring Louis Riddick back and bring in Rob Ninkovich. Louis, I got to say, what do you think about this? Because I get that it's not about the money for Cam, but also he didn't get a lot of money. So some would say that's exactly what he would say.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes it's really just that simple. Of course, it's not about money. They gave him $550,000 guaranteed. So, of course, it's not about the money. And it has an upside of $7.5 million as far as on the one-year deal in total. That's the maximum that he can earn. So it's not about money. It is about respect. And there's no better place to go and really gain that kind of respect than to go to a program like the New England Patriots and play to your maximum ability and really reach the heights of your potential, considering where you're at in your career, and win. You will get the kind of respect that you're looking for. You will get the kind of adulation that you're looking for. You will get that feeling of redemption that you're looking for, that I'm sure Cam Newton is looking for, because let's face it, the market has spoken. The market has spoken over the past couple of months as far as how they look at Cam Newton and where people see him fitting in as far as his value at this point in time. And what it told him was this: you are worth a one-year deal at $7.5 million and $550,000 guaranteed. Whether we like it or not, that's what the market told him. So you're right. It's not about the money. It's about respect. And he is going to be on a revenge tour. And I'm here for it, just like many other people are. I'm very, very interested to see how this all plays out and whether or not he can get the kind of respect that he's looking for, given how teams looked at him this past offseason.
Yeah, I think we all want to see how he's going to step up. Whether he's injury-free becomes a question. Rob, our former Patriot, what does Cam need to do to earn respect, not only with the Patriots, but outside to the rest of the league and the world?
I mean, one simple word: you have to win, right? You have to come into the Patriots organization and you got to win. And look, there's going to be a different pressure on Cam in this situation. When he was with Carolina, if he won a division, it was a great thing. If you're in New England and you don't win the division, you're one of the worst teams in the last 10 plus years to not win a division. They've won the division the last 11 years in a row. So that puts extra pressure on him. So he has an opportunity to go into that building and compete for a job. I'm not ready to just crown him a starter right now. Yes, I know it's Cam Newton. 2013, 2014 had great seasons. Look, I was playing in the league 2013. I had a great season in 2013. Now I play men's plus 35 softball, and I do a men's bowling league. So look, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since Cam Newton was at the top of his game. He's gone through some injuries, two shoulder surgeries on his throwing shoulder. He's had a foot injury. Of course, he's going to be on a revenge tour because nobody gave him the respect of a big contract this offseason. So now, does he have a chip on his shoulder? Yes. How does he earn the respect of everyone around the league? He has to win. And he has to win in New England, which is more pressure than he's felt probably in his career.
All right, Rob. Well, I have to say, you are sure in good shape for old men like us. I'm glad you're still in that bowling league, my friend. All right, thank you, guys. We're leaving here right now. And coming up on Get Up, Tom Brady's texting. What is he saying? And is it a shot at Bill Belichick? Our experts are all over this one. And bubble trouble inside the NBA's whole new world and why ping pong is putting one NBA star over the edge. You're watching Get Up. Get Up is brought to you by Disney Plus and Hamilton, now streaming only on Disney Plus. Well, we're coming up at 9 a.m., top of the hour. I'm Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg. We're going to be with you until 10:45 a.m. That's when First Take is going to take over. By the way, the KBO game is in a rain delay, and if it resumes, that's going to be over on ESPN2. But keep it right here because we have a lot to get to, including the NBA bubble. That's right. It's in effect in advance of the NBA's return. The court in the arena at Disney's Wide World of Sports was installed on Thursday, with teams set to arrive on Tuesday in Orlando. DeMar DeRozan was among those who not quite feeling the bubble just yet.
The ping pong thing is, like you said, it's ridiculous. Let's be honest, like, guys can't do this, but we can do this and battle over each other. You know, it's that part just don't make no sense to me. And I got through 10 lines of the handbook and just put it down because it becomes so frustrating and overwhelming at times.
It's got to be frustrating for the guys because on the one hand, you're doing battle on the court and you can't even play ping pong. Let's welcome in ESPN NBA reporter Malika Andrews, who is inside the Orlando bubble. Malika, I hope you are okay and safe. What concerns are you hearing from players, coaches, and personnel about what life is like inside the bubble?
Well, Ryan, those concerns that I'm hearing fall into two categories. One, like DeMar DeRozan said, quality of life, and two, just health and safety. And on the health and safety front, you're hearing guys like Damian Lillard talk about how he doesn't expect to be leaving his room. That's his plan, save for basketball activities. And that's just because the coronavirus is still a very real thing, even though there is this insulation that is intentionally being built into the bubble, if you will, those things still exist. And then on the quality of life front, you have guys like DeMar DeRozan saying what he did about concerns over what they're going to be able to do. You have someone like Alex Caruso who's saying, you know what, it's going to be okay because we have this players lounge, we have access to Xbox, we have access to these other things, and so I'm not going to be too concerned about that. But my mom used to tell me people are afraid of what they don't know, and this is certainly the unknown.
Yeah, there's so much unknown here, and I have to wonder, Malika, and all of this, I have to wonder if this is going to frustrate some guys so much that they might say, you know what, I'm here, but I'm not staying. I might have to go.
I mean, it's certainly a possibility. Look, there are still some things that should be figured out over what exactly happens if a guy, we know that if a guy says they're not going to report, but they are medically cleared and they are not replaced, then they could be subject to some sort of financial penalty. But if they do come down to Orlando, and let's say they get a minor injury, one that typically maybe they would play through, but in these circumstances, when they're already feeling uncomfortable, let's say it's a back spasm or something like that, they may say, you know what? I'm out at this point. And that's something we absolutely could see. Now, also, the other possibility is as time goes on, perhaps guys would get more comfortable. There'll be less people in the bubble as teams are progressively eliminated. And so those are the two possibilities that you're juggling. But it's absolutely something that we could see happen where guys get down, take a look around and say, you know, I just don't feel totally comfortable. But being down here right now, I can tell you that the NBA is taking any feedback that I've given them very seriously, which I'm sure means any feedback the players give over how they're feeling will be taken with even more, seriousness.
Yeah, you would have to think they would adjust with some of that feedback. So what is the process like entering the bubble?
Well, my producer Melinda Adams and I took a bus. It was probably a 4-minute charter bus yesterday from the hotel we had been staying at with NBA staff into the bubble officially. We went in, we picked up hands-free our magic bands and a card with our room number on it so we didn't have to interface with anyone. We got tested and now, Ryan, we are officially in lockdown. So what that means is at 8 a.m., at noon, and 6 p.m., there are meals dropped outside our doors. The person who drops them walks away so we don't actually have to spend any face-to-face time with them. And that's what it's going to be like for us for the next 4 days. Now, our quarantine lasts for a total of a week, whereas the players' quarantine, which is going to look very similar to ours, lasts just a couple of days. And that's because they're going to be taking chartered planes and just are going to be having less contact with the outside world than reporters and NBA staff are. But this green band I'm wearing, Ryan, that doesn't get you into the VIP section to swag surf at the club. That means we're officially on lockdown, and I'm going to have to keep this on until I've been cleared.
Oh, it's the exact opposite of that. At least you get some sort of room service, so I'll give you that. Malika, stay safe. Yeah. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Now, let's talk about this. On Wednesday, Blazers star Damian Lillard, you heard Malika just bring him up. He expressed serious doubts about whether players will strictly follow all the rules and all those protocols that go on inside the bubble. Take a listen to this.
You telling me you're going to have, 22 teams full of players follow all the rules? Like, when we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So, I mean, I don't have much confidence, but hopefully, it'll be handled to a point where, like, we're not putting everybody at risk or in a dangerous position. You know what I'm saying?
Damian Lillard has been bummed about this, it seems like, from the very beginning, but he's got a valid point right there. It's not just about him following the rules. It's everybody else. So let's welcome in ESPN analysts Jay William and Kendrick Perkins. Jay, look, Lillard, DeMar DeRozan, they've both expressed concerns about the NBA's health and safety protocols and abiding by them. So I just want to ask you this. If you're coming into the bubble, what would be your biggest concern?
Well, the safety protocol, right, I think it is massive here because, you need everybody to bat 1,000. And, will you have people that potentially catch this? Yes. And, ultimately, I really want to address this because this is a big thing that I'm hearing a lot of people debate all the time. And, this is not a health versus the economy, Ryan, right? Protecting health does not get in the way of economic recovery. Protecting health is the route to economic recovery. And that's how we should be looking at this. So, and this is something that's challenging for everybody to process. It's subjective based upon, what your risk tolerance is for where you are in your life. And all these guys do have major concerns because, look, Perk and I both know this. We're around a lot of younger guys all the time. Perk and I both have kids. We live different lives. But I also don't want to talk to my younger guys who live different lives than what we live. And a lot of guys will combat the rules. A lot of guys will challenge the status quo because they want to live their life and have fun. They may not be taking this as seriously as other people. And if that is the case, knowing that that's the norm for just a microcosm of life, that's going to be a challenge for them to pull this off.
Yeah, and you talk about the age difference there. It's different for the younger guys. So, Kendrick, I got to ask, what would you be talking to these younger guys about if you had to go in that bubble with them?
Well, I think as a leader and as an older guy, as a veteran on the team, you got to make sure that you harp on this day in and day out, even in film session and practice. Hey, guys, make sure we do what we're supposed to do outside of the court when you're not away, when you are away from the team. Looking at it like this, it's not going to be perfect, but we are talking about a $1 billion business, the NBA. I'm pretty sure they did the best job of crossing their T's and dotting their I's. when you look at Adam Silver and creating this bubble, you know, you got 24-hour surveillance. You're getting tested every day. Listen, it's nowhere in the world that that's happening with, right? It's probably safer being in a bubble than in your own home. The only concern that I would have is leaving my family to deal with everything that's going in the outside world while I'm going down to a $1 billion bubble and being pampered. I just want to know, are current players myself, do I have an invite? Because I want to go down there and get a mani-pedi and haircut and live a good life in a bubble and be protected. Hell.
The mani-pedi? Is that what you would get? I'm not sure to get mani-pedis, but
I'm just saying. Let me get my feet scrubbed on a little bit. They getting pampered down there.
Living the life. I got to love that. Speaking of living the life, we got to get to this guy, Zion Williamson. Returning to practice with the Pelicans Thursday. And check this out. When you see it, you'll be shocked. Looking good, rested, redefined after working out with his stepdad during the stoppage. 3.5 games behind the number 8 seed Grizzlies, Zion says he thinks that the Pelicans can make some big noise in the bubble.
I think this team can be really special when we're all healthy. You know, it's just a matter of us coming together, fighting those mental battles. I guess of being in the bubble and just honestly coming together. I feel like we can come together and, you know, fight the battles together. I think we can be something like really special.
I mean, I think if we had him at the beginning of the year, you know, it wouldn't be, you know, the story wouldn't be fight for the 8th seed. It would have been, you know, we're, you know, 4 or 5 seed in the West. Honestly, that's my opinion.
Yeah, sky's the limit when Zion's looking like that. I want our producers to keep putting up that picture just so people can see how jacked he looks right now. Jay Williams, ooh, back in with Kendrick Perkins. And I mean, guys, Perk, I got to ask you first. What was the first word that came to mind when you saw those pictures of Zion Williamson yesterday?
When I saw those pictures yesterday, I thought of the villain from Batman, Bane. I mean, look at him. This guy looks phenomenal. He's ripped up. He got the mask on. He got veins poking out of his arms, his neck, his ears. He looks phenomenal. Hey, listen, this guy Zion is on a mission, and he looks like a straight-up beast. I'm proud of you, young fella.
Jay Will, what about you? First word that came to mind when you saw him.
I mean, this is who Zion is. He's a kid who's always competitive. You know, my brain also goes to another point that if you're Alvin Gentry of this team, you know, you are making a push to beat out the Memphis Grizzlies and get that 8th spot. But at the same time, like, you have to be wary of the fact that your guys, even though they may perceptively look great, they haven't played 5-on-5 in 3.5 months. And how do you manage that from a time allocation perspective? You obviously want to win games, but how do you stagger minutes? How do you pay attention to, you know, guys playing condensed amount of games in a short span time? And how do you balance that with minutes being played? That's going to be something that every coach, especially a coach of a younger team, even though he has horses, he's going to have to mentally manage.
Jay, Will, I just want to make sure I got this straight. Are you saying that the Pelicans are going to need to load manage Zion coming back?
I didn't know, Ryan. I did not say the words load manage. I did not say load manage. I just said that you have to be conscious of the minutes that are being played to a degree, even though you want to win, right? Like, the first game out of the belt, you're not going to have Zion play 48 minutes. He hasn't played a basketball game in 3.5-4 months, even coming off that injury. So, you know, my thing is, for all these guys, you want to win, but to what degree are you willing to push that, depending upon where each game is? So if you're up by 15 or 20, take the foot off the gas. If you're down by 10, maybe you do. If you're down by 20, maybe you don't. You have to look at these things reasonably.
Go ahead, Perk.
No, Jay, you got to let these young fellas rock out. Listen, Zion had more than enough time to rehab after his surgery. Alvin Gentry did a great job for us managing his minutes when he returned. And basically what they just had was an offseason. And he got in great shape. You talking about one of the youngest squads,
Perk.
Talented squads in the league. It's no management
Perk.
Going on. Did you say the same? Did
Perkins.
You say the same
Kendrick
thing to Coach
Perkins.
K and Duke?
Kendrick
did you
Perkins.
Say, did you,
you
say
I,
the same?
You,
did you say the same? No. Did you say the same thing to Duke and Coach K when Zion came off an injury? Did you tell Coach K to manage his minutes? Here we are, Zion. Zion looking like a beast, and you sitting up here telling me that Alvin Gentry and the Pelicans should manage a 20-year-old stud who looks great, manage his minutes?
First off, I can't roll with that, Coach Jay. Will.
Manage, go ahead, Jay.
Coach K did manage Zion Williamson's minutes when he came back off injury.
Not playing 30. Not playing.
Hold on. Let's let guys. I want Jay to finish the point so we make sure we hear everybody. Go ahead, Jay.
And he's had injuries sensing Kendrick Perkins. This is a guy whose body still weighs 275 pounds. And I'm not saying that you have to, when you say low manage, you just have to be manageable of the minutes that you're actually playing him. You can still win games, but if there's a little tweak here and there, you have to navigate that. Each coach is going to have these challenges, especially with a guy like Zion, considering the season next year is going to be a quick turnaround if they do make the playoffs. You have to think that way. This is longevity, brother. This is just not short-term gratification.
So Kirk, give you the last word.
So every season they're gonna have to manage Zion minutes because of his injury. Come on, Jay. Like they had four. He had 4 months. He looks great. He's ready to play. He's 20 years old. You gotta let him loose. Let him rock out. You got to.
Kendrick Perkins, if you haven't played 5-on-5 basketball in 4 months, you're just gonna come in and play 48 minutes right out of the gate? That's what you're trying to tell me?
You can see the tension going on this one, but I'll tell you what. It sounds like he's going to be load conscious at the very least. Guys, thank
you
so
much.
There
you go. I like that.
Real quick, if we have a second. Producers, do we have a second? Real quick, got to ask this. Who would you want them to face in the first round at the playoffs if they make it in? Jay.
Oh, LeBron James and the Lakers. Zion versus LeBron? That's it. That's incredible TV. That's blockbuster right there.
Mm-hmm. Perk?
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. Listen, when you're talking about Alonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram going against a former team and Anthony Davis going against his former team and two iconic figures in LeBron James and Zion, I want to see that smoke. I want to see that action.
High drama is what it would be. Guys, thank you so much. We'll be right back talking more about this and more. Coming up on Get Up, the text Tom Brady sent that says so much about how he feels right now compared to last year in New England. We will have it. You will see it. Coming back on Get Up. The basketball tournament is back this year with a fully quarantined 24-team single elimination bracket. Played over 10 days in Columbus, Ohio. Good example for the NBA, by the way. $1 million winner-take-all first prize. Fireworks begin tomorrow at 3 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. But let's get back to some of the biggest news today. NFL talk this week. It's been all about Cam Newton. Cam, and more Cam, signing with the Patriots. Now, before the big move, Jarrett Stidham was the guy to replace Tom Brady, despite having only made 4 passing attempts in the NFL. So now, it seems there will at the very least be an open competition for the starting role. So it brings us to a new segment that I want to bring in. It's called Real Talk with Riddick, Louis Riddick, our front office insider. He's already got the pose, like, this is what I'm saying to you. That's what we want from him now. So we'll ask him what he thinks and how he would act as a GM, how he would handle any particular situation. So you got a big one here, Louis. A week ago, Jarrett Stidham was expected to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots. So now you got Cam Newton in the fold. So you're a GM here. Real talk. What are you saying to Jarrett Stidham right now?
I think first and foremost, right out the gate, I'm saying, look, this is a competition-based business, man. This is the big boy league. This is the NFL. And look, a long time ago, I remember someone telling me this about the NFL from a front office perspective. My job is to replace you. If I can't replace you, I've done my job. And that's really what it comes down to, right? I mean, coaches and front office together. And with Bill, he's the same guy. He's the coach and he is the front office. He is always going to be looking to provide maximum amount of competition for his football team across all positions. And if he sees a chance to upgrade his roster, that's what he's going to try and do. So what you're telling Jarrett Stidham is this. You just take care of your business. You've been here a year. You worked under the greatest of all time in Tom Brady. You know this system. You know what Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator, expects of you. You know you have a leg up from a mental standpoint and from a familiarity standpoint with this offense. So take the ball and run with it here. I would line him up first team at the beginning of training camp and then let the chips fall where they may. But just handle your business. Don't worry about what we're doing with the rest of the this team. Just trust me in this. I'm going to make the best decisions for this football team and for the New England Patriots. And Bill has always said that. So for Jarrett Stidham, it's about just keeping your eye on the prize. Just keep your eye on your job. Do your job, as Bill Belichick says. And if you do your job, then we won't have to replace you. We won't have to take you out of there. Simple as that.
So you start the season with him as the number one option?
Absolutely. Look, I think in terms of executing this offense, he's the guy who has been through an entire offseason, training camp, regular season, now a virtual offseason again with Josh McDaniels, where we all know that teams take, or rather players take, a tremendous jump from year one to year two from a mental standpoint, and they're able to then transfer that to playing faster on the football field. Although these guys haven't been on the field, there's no question that he would be able to execute this offense efficiently at a much higher level than what Cam would do, simply because he's more familiar with it. So why would you just throw Cam in there right now when he hasn't even been through the virtual offseason? If Cam's going to return to his previous 2015 MVP form, then it won't take, then, you look, he will show that once he gets into training camp and he's able to get the mental part of this offense down. But for starters, I'm putting Jarrett Stidham in there, and then I'm letting them go after each other and see how it plays out.
All right, true competition. Let's bring in Rob Ninkovich and Dan Graziano joining us now. Rob, do you agree with Lewis that Stidham go into training camp as that number one option?
Yeah, I mean, look, he understands the offense. He's been there over a year, and he was with Tom Brady last year, being able to learn underneath him, being with Josh McDaniels and understanding the system. And with the contract that they signed Cam to, this is an open competition, and Bill's going to say every single year, my job is to bring in the best players to compete against each other for us to have to decide who the best 53 is for this roster. So when you look at the things that they're doing right now, every single year they're going to bring in what they feel like is the best competition to bring the best out of everybody. It's not their job to worry about feelings, to worry about how guys feel about competing, because he's going to tell you, if you're not willing to compete and you don't like competition, then this is not the place for you. So the Patriots are always going to bring in competition. They're going to do it in every single position room, and it's up to Cam to go into there and to compete for a job. He's not a first-round pick anymore. He's not the highest-paid quarterback or didn't sign a huge contract with guaranteed money. So now it's just an open competition. They're going to play the best player.
All right, Dan, I want to bring you in. From what you're hearing, is Stidham still part of the Patriots' long-term plan?
They definitely still like it. Look, the Cam Newton signing was not about Jarrett Stidham. It was about being able to get Cam Newton for that incredible bargain price. I mean, if Cam Newton was signing a contract worth $8 million, $10 million, $15 million a year, the Patriots wouldn't have it. They bring him on this deal, and they're going to give him a shot. If he doesn't show that he's healthy, if he doesn't show that he's his old self, he may not even make their team. And then they go back to what the plan was a couple weeks ago with Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. So it's a one-year deal for Cam. If he comes in and wins the starting job and plays well, he's a free agent next year. They still would, at that point, have Stidham with 2 years of development in their system as a potential option. But they remain high on his ability, and if it ends up being another developmental year for Jarrett Stidham in New England, that's not the end of the world for him or them.
You know, it's what makes the Patriots so unique. It's not about inheriting a starting job or you get this job because you've been there. Every year, it seems like guys have to compete for their spots, and it's what makes them great, frankly. All right, guys, we're going to come back and talk more about this, but for now, coming up on Get Up, the pressure mounting on Dan Snyder to change his team's nickname right now as FedEx and Nike both take action. So will he do it? Reaction coming up. Fourth of July weekend, time for this. The annual Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest is on this year. All in a secret indoor location with limited competitors. Sounds intriguing. 12-time champ Joey Chestnut will be looking to break his record of 74 dogs and buns eaten in 10 minutes. It makes me sick just thinking about that. Tomorrow at noon Eastern, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, and the ESPN app. And we are coming up just now on 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm Ryan Smith, joining you with Get Up right here in Bristol, Connecticut. I'm in for Mike Greenberg. Thank you so much for joining us to jumpstart your 4th of July weekend. We will be with you until 10:45 a.m., so you got a bonus 15 minutes from us. And after that, First Take takes over. But let's begin with this, because it is a bombshell that dropped early yesterday evening that could change the face of the Washington franchise. FedEx, which holds the naming rights for the Washington Redskins Stadium, has formally requested that the team change its nickname. Pressure to change the name has increased in recent weeks, given the social climate following the death of George Floyd. Now, NFL legend Jim Brown was on Jalen and Jacoby yesterday, and here's what he said.
I'm all for it. I think it's a consciousness. I think that in this era, you must make those bold moves. And yes, I think they should change it. Tell why they're changing it. And let's move on towards a world wherein people are equal and people are given the respect for just being human and being good. The racial situation is something that should be outdated. So yes, get rid of the Redskins. And that would make a big move.
Now, if you know anything about Washington owner Dan Snyder, he has held fast to his position on this. He's faced pressure to change the name for years, always stood firm. Here's what he said back in 2013. We'll never change the name. It's that simple. Never. You can use all caps. So it makes it interesting where we stand right now with his sponsor asking him to remove it, that stadium sponsor. So here now, Louis Riddick, Dan Graziano, and Dominique Foxworth joining us, and he'll be hosting First Take, by the way, later this morning, Dom will. So, Dom, you live in D.C. You've been following this conversation for years, as have many of us. So what is your perspective on this, not only from a football perspective, but right. from being in and around this in D.C.?
Yeah, well, I think that this will be the final straw that pushes them over the edge and forces Dan Snyder to go back on his word and change the name of this team. It's not just that that FedEx has kind of turned against them. It's also a lot of local people and local politicians. I know one of the important things to Dan Snyder, and frankly, I was intrigued by what Dan Graziano said earlier, that he said the other owners are going to kind of stay out of Dan Snyder's business, but it becomes all of their business when it impacts Dan Snyder's ability to build a new stadium. He wants to build a new stadium back in D.C. on the old grounds of RFK, and local politicians said that he won't be able to do that unless he changes the team's name. And that, seeing as Washington is one of the most profitable franchises in the league, that'll impact the revenues for the entire league and impact everyone. So I'm sure that Dan's right. Those other owners don't have the guts necessarily or desire to set a precedent of them getting into Dan Snyder's business, but I'm absolutely sure that they'd rather him change it and get the financial windfall that comes from doing that than him put the league as a whole, their financial well-being, in further jeopardy by standing pat on this decision.
You know, Louis, the other side of this, Dom mentions how the pressure is on right now. It's a unique time right now. But let's make no mistake, a lot of this is about money. And Dan Snyder can look at this and say, look, I feel strongly about the name, but not only that, I sell jerseys. I have this brand. Now I would have to change
that. Not on Nike.com.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I wonder, Louis, what you think about this. The idea is, okay, maybe you lose the sponsor, but maybe he's thinking, I don't want to lose all the other things I have if this is solely about money for him.
Yeah, maybe he is thinking that. But, you know, look, FedEx is paying him a whole lot of money. And FedEx is, look, being invested in by people who have a whole lot of money. Look, understand that FedEx, Nike, Pepsi, I mean, these are all companies right now that are being pressured by, again, a group of investors that control upwards of over $600 billion worth of assets. That's a lot of pressure that is being put on those individual companies who then are applying the pressure to Dan Snyder. And so look, if one of these companies like FedEx, and FedEx is a major, major Fortune 500 company, if they're going to apply pressure, you can best believe if Nike's going to apply pressure, then everyone else is going to line up and apply pressure too. I don't believe that this is necessarily where it stops. This is really where it starts. And right now, this pressure and this momentum is significant. And Ryan, look, again, as we alluded to earlier in the first hour, the one language that NFL owners understand is the language of money. And they are not in the business of losing money. They're not in the business of having people dip into their pockets and take money out. They like to put money in. They are governed by that creed, so to speak. That's how they operate. That's how they roll. When something is bad for business, it oftentimes is the catalyst for them to change the way in which they do business. And right now, Fred Smith has spoken. FedEx has spoken. Fred Smith being the founder, chairman, and CEO of FedEx. He has spoken.
Fred Smith's also an owner.
Look, he may be. That's right. He may be digging in. But look. Fred has listened to what his investors have told him, which is this: tell your guy down there it's time to change the name. We control a lot of money. We invest a lot of money into your company. We invest a lot of money into Nike. We invest a lot of money into Pepsi. We're not happy.
Yeah, I think Fred. I think it's important to point out that Fred Smith, the CEO of FedEx, is also, I think, 10% owner of Washington. So he has another interesting position in this whole discussion. So, I think also that the paradigm has been set up by FedEx making this decision that everything's changed. This is an outgrowth. I think this latest push is an outgrowth of the George Floyd killing and all of that stuff. So the paradigm has changed. So it's going to be not only is FedEx, I know they are signed on until 2026. Not only is FedEx taking this position, anybody else, any other company who becomes a sponsor now is signing on to that name in a way that they weren't before. It's not like in the past where it was like, all right, we signed on to this company, but they say and do some stupid things. Now, if you join up, if Nike puts Washington's apparel back up, if some new sponsor comes in and try to take over the naming rights, there will be some unrest. People saying, no, I'm not going to support you signing on to this name.
Yeah, you have to wonder. If they say, let's just get a new sponsor, does it become toxic for that sponsor? And then they're in a real hole. So, Dan Graziano.
Not a lot of sponsors.
I want to get to Dan
money.
Real quick.
Sorry.
Dan.
Sorry, Dan.
No, it's okay. Dan, what do you think people around the league are saying about this? Because, look, this is – I get the idea that people are saying this is on Dan Snyder. He's got to figure it out. But as Dom said and others have said, this affects everybody in the league because this becomes NFL team Washington Redskins, not just the Washington Redskins alone.
I think what Dominique said about the paradigm shift is really important in this discussion. I've been talking to ownership sources over the past couple of weeks about the potential of – you know, players peacefully protesting during the national anthem this year and why it would go differently than it did 3 and 4 years ago. And that paradigm shift is a real thing that's in the consciousness of the people that own these teams. At this point, 3, 4 years ago, they felt like those protests were bad for business. I think at this point, they're probably leaning the other way to the point where if we come down hard on these, we come out against these protests, if and when they happen, that would be bad for our business. That's what's changed about the environment in which this is all taking place.
You know, what is going to be interesting is I want to see the first thing Daniel Snyder will put out about this issue. That is going to be very telling, and I wonder exactly what he is going to say, or better yet, what he's going to do. So that's one story. Another big story in football, we've been talking about it all week. Contract terms out for Cam Newton's one-year deal with the Patriots. And you know what? If there was ever such a thing as a bargain, it is this. As first reported by CBS Sports, Cam received just $550,000 guaranteed. His base salary is only $1.05 million, which you might say that's a ton of money. Not a lot of money for a former MVP. On Instagram yesterday, Cam said he didn't sign for the money. He said it's not a lot of things money cannot buy, but amongst the top of that list of things, you would find respect as one of those. This is not about the money for me. It's about respect. So, Lewis, we asked the question, obviously, Cam Newton wants respect. That's the key for him. But this is a situation where, hey, respect or not, the money just didn't seem to be there.
No, it wasn't. Look, the market spoke. The market spoke, right or wrong, whether you agree with it or not. And I didn't agree with it. But the market spoke as to what they felt Cam's value was at this point relative to the offseason, relative to the things that right now are governing how this offseason and how society overall is operating. The market spoke, and that was we're going to sit and we're going to wait because there are things that we feel as though, as the NFL is concerned and as far as teams are concerned, things that we need to see and we need to get to a certain price point in order for us to feel comfortable signing you, given that you're coming off of injury and we can't get our hands on you. We can't necessarily, you know, investigate you as far as your health is concerned the way we want to. So the market had spoken. Okay. And so right now, look, New England is one of those teams that is more economically driven than any team probably in the history of the NFL. Bill plays the long game better than anyone. And just so we're clear here, for everyone who feels as though Cam has been disrespected, and I get why they feel that way. And look, in many respects, I feel the same way. Okay. Bill looks at this like this. At this point in time, if they felt as though the New England Patriots were talking about, if they felt as though it was imperative in order for them to operate that they needed to have Cam Newton on their roster, they would have signed him a long time ago. They were signed a long time ago to much more money than $550,000 guaranteed and a contract that maxes out at $7 million. They would have taken care of this a long time ago. So for everyone that right now is upset over the fact that I said that, hey, look, starting off in training camp, Jared Stidham should line up number one. Cam Newton, until he gets comfortable, lines up in number two. And if he is back to his old form, then obviously he's going to surpass Jared and he's going to take over. Well, then I feel bad for you because that's just the way that they operate. Mm. The New England Patriots don't owe Cam anything, and their contract that they offered him already showed you that they don't feel as though they don't owe him anything other than an opportunity, and that's what they gave him. And you know what? If he is healthy, then he is going to be the starter. But Bill is all about competition. Bill is all about running his football team economically. And this is another master class in that right now. And why right now? He sits head and shoulders above everyone else as far as how to build rosters in the salary cap era.
Simple as that. Anybody will tell you in negotiation, wait out the market, get the best possible deal. Dominique, got to ask you, though, what did you think of this contract when you heard about it?
Yeah, I think that it's interesting that Cam posted what he posted about this isn't about money, it's about respect, because in the NFL, money is respect. I mean, money is how people feel about you. It is what how much faith they have in you, how much respect they have for what you have left. And I think that I agree with what Lewis was saying, that it's likely that Jarrett Stidham starts the first day with the ones and they find a way to get Cam comfortable before they throw him in there. However, I don't think that what the Patriots did to Cam Newton was disrespectful. I think what the entire league did to Cam was disrespectful. And I understand how the circumstances this year were different and they may not be able to test out all of Cam's previous injuries. However, I think that Cam Newton has done enough, you would think, to get more contract offers than just one that is league minimum, and to get more opportunities to compete for a starting job than just this one situation in New England. So I think that what the Patriots offered him is an opportunity, a life raft, and a situation when the rest of the league seemed to have their eyes closed and didn't understand what value was out there to be gained.
So, Nick, real quick here, do you think he gets big money at the end of this year, if healthy?
I think he plays well. Whether the Patriots, I doubt that the Patriots sign to a long-term deal. I still think they have the right to franchise him, and they also might just let him walk. But somebody will pay him if he becomes a free agent. I can't imagine the Patriots signing him to any long-term extension. If anything, they'll franchise him back-to-back and then cut him loose.
And Lewis, what do you think?
Ryan, let me just say this. Look, if Cam goes in there and plays well and he regains his old form, then heck yeah, he deserves to get signed to a long-term contract. If it's not with New England, then someone else. And he deserves to be paid in the upper echelon of quarterbacks. There's no question about it. Look, I'm all about the meritocracy. I'm all about if you perform, get your money. But New England just, look, New England operates like this. They don't care what you did in the past. They've shown it over and over. It's all about what you can do for me now and what you're going to do for me in the future. And his contract reflects that. And look, I don't like it. Cam doesn't like it. Cam feels disrespected. A lot of people think he should be disrespected, but that's the way they roll. But if he balls out, then he deserves his money, no question about it.
Yeah, great conversation. We'll see how that will play out. And I'll tell you what, the Patriots, once again, a master class. Coming up, Tom Brady. Well, he's texting. So is what he's saying a shot at Bill Belichick? Our experts are all over this one. Coming up on Get Up.